Today on the Daily Gator Daily Thought, it's all about the Second Amendment, firearms, banks threatening gun companies, the war on the NRA, the war on your right to self-defense, students getting bullied at school for going to a gun range on their free time. Stick with us, folks. And again, it's Doug Hagel with the Daily Gator Daily Blog, and it seems like all I've been doing lately is talking about the Second Amendment, firearms, the right to self-defense, the constitutional right to keep and bear arms, just everything. And, you know, sometimes I want to talk about other things, but then a story hits me, or several, as today it is true of, and it's like, man, I gotta get the truth out there. The more people hear the truth from more sources, the better. Because the left is not going to ever stop coming after our firearms. And no matter how many, quote, common sense laws they get, they're still going to keep going. And they're still going to keep pressuring and bullying and engaging in what I now call gun shaming. It's kind of like slut shaming, except there's no sluts involved as guns. And guns can't be sluts because they are inanimate objects. Right now, I'm looking at one of my pistols and it's just laying there. Just laying there in the gun cabinet. It's not doing anything. It really is a lazy, lazy 9mm. But of course, it's inanimate. Kind of like liberal brains, inanimate. Now, let's start. A lot of these stories come from Bearing Arms, an invaluable source of information on self-defense of gun uses, statistics, studies about defensive gun uses. Apparently, the CDC, by the way, several years ago, came up and did a study and found 2.4-something million Americans, on average, defend themselves with firearms every year. You didn't hear about it. Why? I mean, with the left pushing for the CDC to get in on the gun control game and do studies, which is they can do, by the way. That's not banned. The left says it's banned. It's not. They're banned from using information to push for gun control. In other words, they're forbidden by law to be partisan. But this study found that 2.4, roughly, million Americans use firearms to defend themselves annually. But they sit on it. They hid it. They didn't release it. The media didn't pick up on it. And guess what? Par for the course, right? But here's a story that is puzzling. My second favorite firearm manufacturer, Ruger, he's a wonderful company. I think they make wonderful firearms. And I've heard nothing but good things about Ruger. A bank is threatening Ruger because Ruger associates with the National Rifle Association. Excuse me. And at Bearing Arms, Tom Knighton has this news. It is Amalgamated Bank said it will pull its investments from Sturm, Ruger & Company and withhold support for a board member if the gun maker fails to adopt new corporate policies and cut ties with the NRA. Why would Ruger cut ties with the NRA? Why? I mean, pressure from a bank that no one's ever heard of and apparently isn't even in the top 20 donors and supporters of Ruger. It would be suicide. No one who cares about the Second Amendment would buy Rugers anymore. I know I wouldn't. As wonderful a product as they make, I would never buy Ruger again until they change that policy. I mean, why would Ruger cut its own throat? But this is the statement from the bank's chief executive, Keith Mestrich. He described Ruger's relationship with the NRA as short-termism. All those CEOs, and they come up with these catchy little phrases that don't really mean anything, but they sound, make you sound really smart when you say them, right? He said they fail to proactively adopt corporate social responsibility efforts commensurate with the lethality of their product and display hypocrisy in touting adherence to the law while working with the NRA to weaken laws as much as possible. Well, I don't know that the NRA has ever worked to weaken laws. They've worked to strengthen laws. I know they pushed a law in Virginia where if you got caught with a firearm, right, committing a crime, you got a stiffer penalty. That's not weakening laws. They've always been for, they're the ones that came up with the background check system, the NICS system. They're also always have been pushing for better background checks, harsher penalties for straw purchasers, harsher penalties for gun. They don't flout law. They don't try to break the law. They don't try to weaken laws. This is a completely asinine statement by someone who's either playing politics, thinks he's going to get famous, thinks his company will grow because of it, trying to latch onto the social activism baloney that's going on. He also said that his bank would have to pull funds from Ruger's efforts, which creates significant financial and reputational risk that will hurt Ruger and shareholders. I don't know what Ruger's going to do. I certainly can't see them caving. I can't see them giving in and slicing their own throat. I personally hope they will tell this guy to go take a very long walk off a very short bridge, so to speak. Now, that's one thing. This is the new thing. Banks trying to say that, you can't use our credit card. Citi, for instance, doesn't want its cards being used to buy, quote, high-capacity magazines and assault rifles, I believe it was. By the way, I made sure when I renewed my NRA membership most recently, I made damn sure to use my Citi card. And I haven't decided whether to keep it or not because I don't know. Sometimes these corporations, they and Citi's got such a wonderful product, wonderful customer service. Really phenomenal. And it's a shame to see a company that does something so well get in this type of mud. And I hope they will change after some backlash. Kind of like some of the advertisers that immediately jumped off the Laura Ingraham show. When she hurt little David Hogg's feelings, and then came back, and her ratings are up, of course. So I'm hoping the storm will pass. Common sense will prevail, before I make a decision. But believe me, every bit of money I spend on my Citi card will be used for pro-gun efforts until I decide whether or not to ditch it or not. Then there's this story, folks. This story here. I'm going to get to that last. That's a little too new evidence about the Broward County deputies in the Parkland shooting. I'll get to that. Here's some good news. Good news you probably won't hear on CNN or MSNBC or anywhere else. You can read about it in Tucson News Now, Tucson, Arizona, of course. Arizona, a very gun-friendly state. Police there said a man tried to carjack her with a hatchet, apparently. And then he fell down and went boom. Apparently he had a severe allergic reaction to lead because she shot him. The Tucson Police Department said officers responded to the area of 6th Avenue and East Pennsylvania Drive around 8:40 p.m. for a report of a shooting. Police arrived at the scene and located a man on the ground with an obvious gunshot wound. They provided aid to the man before paramedics arrived. He was transported to the hospital, non-life-threatening injuries. But the woman, very important, She stayed on the scene. She complied with the police. Investigators said the woman was leaving the store. She got in her vehicle and attempted to close the door. A man came up demanding the keys while holding this hatchet. The woman retrieved her handgun. I don't know where she had it. Holster, console, I don't know. And told the man to leave. He foolishly did not listen. Raised the hatchet and she shot him. And she was able to keep the man from leaving the scene until police arrived. So, again, a good guy with a gun. The left mocks that, don't they? Oh, you're a good guy with a gun stuff. It's true. In this case, a good woman. Beats a bad man with a hatchet. It's incredible how many times these types of things happen. And you never hear it on the mainstream media. I mean, if I ran Fox News or CNN or anywhere else, it'd be fun if I ran MSNBS. How fast would I fire Joy Reid and how fast would I fire Lawrence O'Donnell? I don't know that their heads would even stop spinning. I would clean house. I would get some responsible journalists on. And I'd try to give some... Just go to a neutral site. This news. Imagine a news site, 24/7 news site, that actually just reports news. And since this is a hot topic, I would have segments about defensive uses of guns. I'd actually push stories that interest people. It's all about ratings, right? In part it is. Well, guess what? If it bleeds, it leads. Doesn't that apply to self-defense? Don't people stand up sometimes and applaud at movies where someone uses some type of weapon to defend themselves against the bad guy, the killer? I think so. Of course, the Toronto van attack. I don't know the motivation of the crazy SOB that ran down 25 people, killing 10 of them. And he didn't use a firearm, even though he pretended to have a firearm when he jumped out of the van stopped by police. He pretended to have a firearm and said, "I believe I have a gun in my pocket." Unfortunately, the police didn't shoot him. They could have saved the taxpayers of Canada some money by filling him with lead, frankly, because he's an evil SOB. But note, there was no gun. Remember, France was night. It was at Nice, France. How many people? Nearly 100 people killed. 300 and something, 400 something wounded. Guy rented a big truck. This was a van. This was a Ryder rental. Big 10 or 12 seat van, whatever it is. Went on the sidewalk, started running down people. Killed 10, wounded 15 more. And that number would have been bigger if he would have had his way, I'm sure. And why is it that these stories, it's almost with the left, you're morally superior if you're run down by a crazy guy in a van than if you're shot by a crazy guy. And if you're shot by a crazy guy with an AR-15, you're really morally inferior. It is thinking that is, I don't even want to call it thinking. It's pure emoting. It's a demonization of firearms. It's like a gun is bad. Gun is bad. No matter what the case, the gun is bad. I remember a lady, distinctly remember this, on the Oprah Winfrey Show. This was back in the mid-90s. They were debating, I believe, here in Texas at the time, having concealed carry. And this lady was on the show, and she had come home one night, drove into her garage, shut the door behind her, got out, and was attacked by a crazed, naked man. She shot and killed him. He turned out to be, I believe, a man who had raped other women, brutally. Now, she defended herself in her own home from a horrific crime. And I remember this woman in the audience questioning her and saying, "Well, I know you defended yourself, but what good did you really do? It won't stop another person somewhere else from raping another woman. And I looked at that woman on TV and said, you're morally retarded. You're just dysfunctional morally. You're criticizing, in effect, a woman for defending herself. Like if you defend yourself with a firearm, you're somehow bad. I remember being asked by more than one person back in the late 90s, I had to defend myself with a firearm. The gun was never fired. Thankfully, the person who was trying to rob me decided that the pistol in his face was a little bit overwhelming. He ran, screaming, pleading, "Don't shoot me." And I didn't shoot him, and I'm glad I didn't. But I remember more than one person, "Well, what were you doing with the gun?" See, I was bad because I had used a firearm. I was bad because I owned a gun. Didn't matter that I would have been the victim of who knows what kind of crime. And the same people, if I had been murdered by that person, if I had not kept a gun and been morally superior and been murdered, what would they have said? "Well, he probably would have shot me. He had his own gun." "Well, it's guns. It's guns." Again, the fixation on guns as pure evil. Just a firearm laying there is evil. It's asinine. And it leads directly to vilifying self-defense. The left is not a big believer in self-defense. Except for themselves, of course. The elites, that's different. They can hire armed security, and it's purely, it's as moral as the driven snow. But if you want to fire and protect yourself, well, you're evil. And if you go to the gun range, well, look out. And if you go to the gun range as a kid, as a teenager, high school student, and then you post pictures of it, you go with your parents, you might get in mucho trouble. There were a couple kids in New Jersey a couple months ago, might have been the last month, that did that and posted some pictures after it. And they were actually both suspended. The school said they were not suspended because of that. Someone, of course, looked up the school policy. And the school policy was, you can be suspended if you do anything with a firearm, whether on school grounds, not school grounds, weekend, didn't matter. Now, that was whitewashed away very quickly. Someone had the original PDF, and it was there. Now, it's gone. And, of course, there was a lot of backlash, even in the People's Republic of New Jersey. But here's another story. This one, excuse me. This one from the Parkland kids. The kid who's out there actually defending the right to keep and bear arms. Kyle Kashuf, I believe his name was. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, Kyle. He recently went to a gun range with to learn about. He'd never shot an AR-15 before. But he went, he got some training from one of the firearms instructors there at the range, and apparently had a pretty fun time, posted some pictures, comments on, might have been Twitter, might have been Instagram. Let me get the story here real quick. Here it is. On Friday, this would have been Friday of last week, a week before, Parkland survivor Kyle Kashuf went to the gun range to learn to fire a gun for the first time alongside his father. He tweeted pictures of him holding an AR-15, learning about the firearm, etc., etc. He tweeted this: "It was great learning about our inalienable right of the Second Amendment and how to properly use a gun. This was my first time ever touching a gun." Interesting, he was pro-gun without ever touching a gun. He just had the right principles. But he continued, "It made me appreciate the Constitution even more. My instructor was very informative. I learned a lot, and it is important we need to preserve the Second Amendment." He also showed a little Twitter video of him actually firing the AR-15. And then he further tweeted, "Facts matter. I wish the facts of guns were more known. We need to educate the public and show them why they need the Second Amendment." Accompanied by another video of the instructor talking to him. Then he tweeted about the Second Amendment. Anyway, after all that, and more video of him shitting, Tom Knight at Bearing Arms writes, after the pictures came out, "Some of his fellow students took issue with Kyle going to a gun range, apparently because someone did something bad at their school with a gun. Everyone in the school must shun the tool, used to kill people." Again, it's the gun shaming. It's the, oh, guns are bad. It's very, very simplistic, ass-backwards thinking that the cults of gun control, they're like the walking zombie apocalypse when they talk about firearms. Guns are bad. Guns are bad. It's like a robot. Remember the robot from the old Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. It's kind of like that. Except that robot was likable. Now, Kyle went with his father. He had parental supervision. I believe he's 17. But when he returned to school, he was told to report to a Mr. Greenleaf. I hope Mr. Greenleaf wasn't actually a tree. I don't think he was. This was apparently a little odd since Kyle didn't know who the hell Mr. Greenleaf was. He is the new school resource officer. And this resource officer, according to Kyle, proceeded to hound Kyle about his gun range trip along with another deputy. Kyle says, "First they began berating my tweet, although neither of them had read it. Then they began aggressively asking questions about who I went with the range with, whose gun we used, about my father, etc. They were incredibly condescending and rude." Now again, this is one side of the story. Let's be fair. But if true, this paints a very ugly picture. He had a third officer from the Broward County Sheriff's Office walk in and began asking me the same questions again. At that point, Kyle says he asked whether he could record the interview, that he was told no. I asked if I'd done anything wrong. Again, they answered no. I asked why I was there. One said, "Don't get snappy with me. Do you not remember what happened here a few months ago?" Wow, if they'd have been as concerned about the guy who'd actually made threats and was banned from school property, if they'd actually been as concerned with him, they might have actually done something to stop him from getting on campus and killing people. But of course, this is different. This is about gun shaming. So basically, they harass this kid, if his version is true. They singled him out, and they shamed him. Now we know the Broward County Sheriff, Scott Israel, perhaps the most incompetent sheriff in history, who is facing a no-confidence vote from his deputies. He is a big gun control advocate. He blamed the NRA for all this when his sorry ass didn't do anything that a sheriff should do. Could have taken the shooter into custody. Could have taken the guns away from him. Didn't. Kyle said they kept calling me the pro-Second Amendment kid. And interesting that this new report that's out, I'm going to get to in a minute, that the Broward County Sheriff's officers who responded to the shooting, they cowered outside and didn't confront the killer, didn't go inside, along with the resource officer that was at the school. Kurt Schlichter, a noted smartass and a really good guy, retired Army colonel, he tweeted this: "Look, on the bright side, we finally found somebody in the Broward County Sheriff's deputies that is willing to take on in a school an unarmed kid." Now, of course, they don't want another shooting. They want to do due diligence. But this is not a kid posting videos of him wildly shooting a gun, being irresponsible. He's in a legal activity with his legal parent, being trained, being shown the ropes. There's no reason in the world that this should happen to anyone. This shouldn't happen to anyone. But the gun shaming, the bullying, Again, this is Patrick Richardson writing it again, Bearing Arms, great site. He writes, God forbid your pro-Second Amendment and in high school these days. Take, for example, the case of high school junior Ariel Rode. Again, if I mispronounce your name, I'm sorry. Lives in South Whidbey, Washington. When other students were fashionably walking out to protest the evils of the Second Amendment, Rode organized a counter-protest on Whidbey Island. His event was probably shut down by the school principal. Why would the principal shut it down? I thought it was all about kids expressing themselves, dealing with grief, dealing with school shootings, dealing with the issues of the day, becoming involved in politics. Apparently only for some. You got to have the right ideology or you're done. Now, contrast this. Just a few weeks earlier, the school closed to allow students to protest. Huh. They were citing safety concerns. The campus of South Whidbey High School was closed Wednesday by Superintendent Joe Mokia, leaving parents, media, and others unable to hear what students said during the protest. Students in grades 9 through 12 were granted permission by the school board to participate in the walkout, seen as a lesson in civics. Parental permission was required for students at the middle school, grades 7 through 8. Of course, who do you single out? The pro-Second Amendment kids. And it wasn't just shutting down his event that he organized. He also faces now bullying. This is something less than pushing, anti-bullying. Apparently you're supposed to not bully anybody unless they take a conservative point of view on firearms. Then it's open season. The kid said he's been called gun crazy, racist, and potential shooter for promoting gun rights. I'm sorry, from other students who are idiots and don't know much about firearms. Huh. Understandable. Gun shaming. That's what this is. This is a campaign by the brown shirts, if you will, the brown shirts of today, that we're going to punish you if you're pro-Second Amendment in any way. If you alter from the path of the narrative lays out for you, we're going to come down to you, we're going to intimidate you, bully you, shame you, embarrass you, ostracize you, whatever it takes to get you to just shut up. And this needs to stop. And I hope that the people engaging in this, I hope the lawyers actually chew them up and spit them. I hope people start losing their jobs over this. Any school, whoever told Kyle Koshev he had to go to the office to talk to the resource officer over this, whoever that is needs to be fired. If it happened, as Kyle said, they need to be gone. Okay? I don't like people losing their jobs for expressing opinions, even if I vehemently disagree with the opinion. I'm pro-free speech. I don't want people having their lives destroyed because they say something that's controversial, because, hell, everything's controversial if you really think about it. But on to something else. The Parkland kids. Emma Gonzalez is probably the second most famous one next to the monster with a 7-inch biceps, David Hogg. Boss Hogg's little nephew or something. Grandson, maybe. I don't know. She has been very recognizable. Very condescending tone. Left-wing activism, just like Hogg. But one thing we've heard repeatedly from the people trying to push, quote, common sense gun laws is that no one wants to take your guns. They just want sensible reforms. Of course, they never really define what sensible is. And if they do, it's generic talking points. Better background checks. Mental health. No assault rifle. No weapons of war. There's no real ugh there. But reacting to the shooting at a Waffle House in Tennessee, Emma Gonzalez immediately, immediately attacked the NRA, of course, and Smith & Wesson. I assume the AR-15 used in the Waffle House was an AR-15. It was a Smith & Wesson. I don't know. She had several tweets. Then she called for, remember, no one's coming for your guns. She called for the confiscation of all semi-automatic firearms. She wrote, removing the assault and semi-automatic weapons from our civilian society, instituting thorough background checks and mandatory waiting periods, and raising the buying age and banning the production of high-capacity magazines as a way to stop shootings in America. Well, besides being completely idiotic, stupid, and foolish, notice the language, semi-automatic. See, we used to hear a lot about these fully automatic weapons of war. Then they kind of switched to semi-automatic. And it sounds scary, doesn't it? Semi-automatic, if you don't know anything about firearms. Let me tell you what a semi-automatic firearm is. If you have a shotgun that you don't have to, it's not a pump action, it's automatic or semi-auto, just reloads the next shell, that's semi-automatic. So everything but maybe a double barrel shotgun or a coach gun or a pump action shotgun, there are shotguns that accept magazines, those would have to be banned. Every rifle that's not a lever action or a bolt action rifle would basically be banned. And pistols, every pistol except revolvers would be banned. And I'm assuming with the language high capacity, you know, they make some, I know Ruger does, I know Smith & Wesson does, Taurus does, probably someone else makes revolvers that hold 8 rounds of, say, 357 Magnum or 7 rounds. Maybe that's considered high capacity because typically a revolver is 5 or 6 rounds, depending if it's a little micro pistol. That they usually hold 5 shells if it's 357 or 38. And bigger revolvers are 6. Maybe those get banned if they're more than 6. Or maybe more than 5. See, the left just keeps defining things downward. They start here and then slowly move down. High-capacity magazines. Anything over 15 rounds. Okay. Then it's, well, anything over 10 rounds. Then it's anything over 7 rounds. Then it's you start banning the magazines, period. Then you start banning pistols that can accept magazines that are bigger. And that basically wipes out all semi-automatic pistols. They are coming for your guns. They're using the slow and steady approach, the slippery slope approach. They'll go as fast as they're allowed, but they'll also willing to go as slow as it takes. They are very, very, very patient. They have an appetite for control. That appetite is never going to be satisfied. They're never going to be satisfied. They're like Michael Moore in All-You-Can-Eat Buffet. They'd have to turn out the lights, drag his fat carcass out, and lock him out to get him to stop eating. Now, if you think about it, millions of AR-15s are out there. It's the most popular sporting rifle in America. Good for varmint hunting. And by the way, a lot of people mention, well, you can't even deer hunt in these certain states with AR-15. You know why you can't? First, the AR-15 is built with a super powerful weapon no one can ever go against. Oh my God! It makes incredible damage. Yet it's banned to hunt deer with because it's not powerful enough. Certainly less powerful than, you know, take a glance at two similarly designed rifles. One chambered in .308, one chambered in .223. Now, AR-15 is a .223, 5.56 if you're European, but the .308 is much more powerful. That can be used to hunt deer with and larger game. But that's not demonized yet. Again, it's a slow progression, folks. They start at the top and start chewing their way down. It's like there's this pie, and they want all the pie, but they'll take a sliver. They'll take a sample of the pie. Then they'll take a little very, very thin piece. Right? Like that girl that your brother's dating who really is hot, but it's always talking about dieting. And you always look at her in her jeans and go, why? You're perfect. I hate my brother. But it's like that. It's just a skinny little piece, then a little bigger, a little bigger. And they never stop. They just keep eating. And eventually, there's crumbs left. And then they want to take the crumbs away. It's about control. The whole notion of gun control is a lie. It's control they want. It's all control. And by the way, oddly enough, after the Waffle House shooting I just referenced, because a 29-year-old man, a hero there, jumped on a guy, took the firearm away from him, apparently, took the AR-15 away from him. Now people like Emma Gonzalez are saying, see, you don't need to arm teachers. They can just take the AR-15 away. This, after building the AR-15 up, is this super weapon of war. I mean, this thing can launch nuclear warheads, according to the rhetoric. This thing has chainsaw attachments. Gun can shoot 800 rounds a second. Whatever BS they come up with about the AR-15. Then they say, oh, no one could ever give a teacher a 9mm. There's no way they can go up against a guy with an AR-15. Well, that depends on tactics and where you're at. If the guy's already moved past your classroom, he's walking away, and you see him and step out, shoot the son of a bitch in the back. That would be legal. He's a coward. He needs to be shot in the back. He needs to be shot everywhere, frankly, if you're a school shooter or any type of mass shooter. But it's idiotic to see the rhetoric. It's the most powerful weapon ever. They built it up. Then now they're saying, well, you don't need guns. Just take it away from them. Again, it's very inconsistent ideology, leftism. The only thing consistent about the left is their inconsistency. Because whichever ways the wind is blowing, that's the direction they go in. It's really pathetic, my friends, to see what they do. And that is it for me and my tired voice. Went a little long. I never know when to shut up sometimes. Sorry. I get passionate, I get carried away. I'm trying to make points I think need to be made. So if you haven't joined the NRA, consider joining them. Use your city card. Extend your membership, upgrade your membership, make a donation. The NRA isn't perfect. But you know what? It is the biggest obstacle to left-wing gun legislation. And we need to remember, they can talk about all the money the NRA raises and powerful gun lobby. The power of the NRA is its members. And since the school shooting, since the new push for gun control, NRA is getting record donations. Not because people are scared, but because people care about the Second Amendment. And the NRA is the biggest force helping to keep politicians' feet to the fire. NRA is its members. So when next time you hear somebody saying, I'm criticizing the NRA, call them bloodthirsty, blah, 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 but I'm not criticizing its members. No, you can't do that. The NRA is its members. The NRA is me. NRA is the other millions of members. That's what the NRA is. It's 5+ million Americans who care about their civil rights, their human rights, the self-defense and firearm ownership. Again, that's it for me. Thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. Thank you for remembering the blog, The Daily Gator. Good night, good afternoon, good morning, whenever you're listening. See you later. God bless. If you're left, you just ain't right. And as always, yes, I'll say it again. Go Gators. Y'all have a good one. Take care.